Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahadiryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So now, in continuation, as it mentioned about Natya Shastra and Natika Chandrika, now we continue with the study of the Natya Shastra, so we can appreciate the dramas. Like so many dramas were quoted, so now that we could have more of an appreciation. So this is Chaitanya Upanayanam, which means a study of all the essential points of all the 14 books of Vedic knowledge. See how they connect to Krishna. So this is just, this is the Natya Shastra part.
Like that. What else?
Is Natya Shastra all those? Other than the philosophy, means everything else. But just in its in a nutshell. No, it's Chaitanya Upanayana. It's part of that. Those might be subsections of it. You know, the Dharma Shastra. Huh? Yes, that's if you do the whole thing, then the degree you'll get is Bhakti Anuchana. The Anuchana means that you can see, means as we're used to seeing in a straight line, but not necessarily laterally. How do these philosophically things, how do they fit into all the other topics? Because for the Vedanta, it's very direct. But in the, so the Paravidya is there, but the Aparavidya, that's not necessarily seen. That's why you see devotees can get into Aparavidya and get distracted from Krishna consciousness. You know, they get caught up in the mode of goodness there and then they just lose it. With that. So this is so that doesn't happen. As many as we can, but it'll basically the volume of it's about the same as what we've just done with the 12 years. So in other words, one is the other is all the tattva, and this is all the religion, right? You know, so the philosophy and the religion. So this is on all the how Krishna's religious aspects that he's given in the Shastras.
Why would we start
because it came after Nectar of Devotion. So that we can appreciate the dramas. Okay, Table of Contents. Chapter 1, Origin of Natyaveda. 2, Description of the Playhouse. You know it means the theater. 3, Rituals to the Guardian Deities. 4, Description of the Tandava Dance. 5, Preliminaries of a Play. 6, Mellows, Rasa. 7, Ecstatic Emotional States, Bhavas. Gestures of minor limbs, upanga. Gestures of hands and arms. Gestures of other limbs. Prabhu doesn't like this topic. He's already walking out. Oh, no, I'm just joking.
What is this?
Yeah, forget this.
I don't remember anything, but when it comes to that,
okay. Chari movements, mandalas, gati, the gate. What is chari?
It's combined movements.
Yeah, you should put there combined movements. Okay. Zonal division, 15 through 17, Sanskrit recitation. 18, Prakritic recitation. 19, the six features of recitation. And what chapter is it? Okay. Introduction. Gandharva Veda, the Upaveda of the Sama Veda, is the study of all forms of art, including music, dance, and poetry. Yes. This Vedic text contains information about the laws and ways to practice these arts and their role in spiritual upliftment of man. Natyashastra, compiled by Bharat Muni, is a text which explains how the drama originated in the heavenly planets and descended to the earth, and how this knowledge of various arts is applied in the dramatic performance. It also details on the chief features of the dramatic presentation. The quote-unquote rasa theory of Natyashastra presumes that bliss is intrinsic and innate in man, and the performance arts aim to empower man to experience this rasa. Footnote 1. Srila Kavi Karnapur states in this regard that the highest gain for a poet and the relishers of poetry is the absorption in deep spiritual bliss that comes from fixing the mind of Krishna on Krishna's qualities, beauty, and pastimes. The goal of performance arts is ultimately to let the spectator experience divine consciousness through the play, then evaluate and feel the spiritual values innate in him, and rise to a higher level of consciousness. So that's what drama is for. Like any of the arts, that's what it's for, but here in specific it's giving that the drama is for that. So the music, the dance, anything, it should be uplifting the consciousness, reminding of Krishna, and bringing us forward in that consciousness, right? We're uplifted by the experience, and then also from that we contemplate and try to go deeper into Krishna consciousness.
Now,
The point is, it's, yes. You have a background in theater or anything? Or?
No.
Okay. So, despite the, means, in other words, the theater, you know, the performance of theater, music, dance, all these things are to create within the person watching and the audience an appreciation of, you know, some aspect directly or indirectly connected back to Krishna. It's supposed to elevate the consciousness. That's what it's for. It has no other purpose. And so then that means then the artists, they can engage their tendency to of that emotional and physical expressions that they like to do in the service of the Lord. So in other words, it's regulated by that. That's what it's for. In the modern context, they remove what it's for, and now it's just what they feel like and express and all that. So it's an irreligious form of theater. So it's not actually according to what it's supposed to do. So then they try to bring out all kinds of crazy feelings and this. As long as it's the feeling, they're good. They couldn't care less if it's elevating or not. You know, in other words, think Peer Gynt or something. You know, so you know, it's just like they're not trying to elevate the consciousness. They're just trying to express and this and that. And the more they get into that, it's about them and their expression, and less about the drama and stuff itself and the audience, then you see it becomes smaller and smaller, the audience. It's more of a niche audience. So you might have a warehouse where they set up a chair in the middle and people sit around, you know, 20, 30 people, 10 people, and then the actor comes out and sits in the chair and makes faces and expressions for, you know, 2 hours, and afterwards everyone goes, oh, that's so fabulous, and goes away. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is this is the origin of what drama is actually for. And so, yes, artists are going to have that ability to act and do and all that, but then it has to be productive. So you see in the modern, then you'll see is especially in the bigger things like films and that, it's about making money. The big budget films. Small budget films, you know, the art house, it may be a little bit more about their expression. Like that, but a lot of times it's just their own, so they're not as controlled. You know, theater, then it has to work, people have to be entertained and, you know, appreciate, get some feeling from it, so there's still a little restriction there. But then you get into these niche things and it's not, they don't worry so much about it. Some people will, right? So it's, you see, is that it doesn't necessarily have control that direction, because the whole point is that's the whole point of the sadhana and the Vedic culture, is that whatever situation you're in, you're able to regulate that in line with the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah.
When you meditate, you try to find the balance between working and rest. this drama, music, kind of. The goal is to elevate the consciousness in a different way than the normal.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's like a festival or something like that. But it's still part of the standard human behavior. Nowadays, it's there, but at the same time, it's not as regulated. Like, I remember this one devotee, back in the 70s, he used to preach in Rajasthan, specifically amongst the royalty, but also then amongst the aristocracy and things like that. Because you'll have these local people who will be zamindars and that, landholders and stuff like that. And so they'll be rich, they're not royalty, but they're very cultured and all that. And he says that one time he was staying at one person's place for some time and doing programs out in that area. And every evening, that gentleman would invite some, at least locally known or even sometimes even bigger from farther away, renowned musicians. And in the evening, then they would have a recital there. Just his family or, friends like that. So it wasn't a big thing, and the person would perform for them. They'd be, remunerated very nicely. And then after they'd all had the meal and all that, but it was just part of the evening program. You didn't go to the cinema, you didn't sit around and, listen on iTunes or, stuff like that. It was a live performance. And many times, because they're on that side of India, then in between things, they get some big guys to come also. But it wasn't a public program, it was just the family. And so they must know music very well themselves, can play themselves. And so then they're inspired by hearing from these really, really good people. And also you see in the evening also, then Krishna, then there's always dramatic performances or music or some other entertainment and like this, like that that's going to be going on. Or we see, and also I think it's in, even in the Western, you have in Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, that's a play within a play. That in the play, then you have this wealthy person and his family and a few friends, and there's a troupe that's there. These troops travel around, so they'll do things in public, but then these wealthy people invite them to their home to do a performance at their home. And so in the performance, they were doing the performance of the Taming of the Shrew, like that. And so then you see, it was a very standard thing that it's just this was the entertainment before. It was refined and all that, and it's supposed to elevate the consciousness. So before, it's like it means anything within the classical music in India, it's always about Krishna. Even if Drupad music, which means it's before the Khyal. Khyal was the kind of the alteration that the Muslims did with the classical music. So the Drupad, then, it's based on Shastra, directly based, while the Khyal will be loosely based. So then in there, even if the musicians is Islamic, the words are about Radha and Krishna. It's just, that's the way it was. It was always about Radha and Krishna and like this and that. Others may introduce this something about Shiva or this, but that's not what it's for. Nowadays, social issues, if you're getting, at least trying in some way to uplift. So that was very very prominent, we could say, kind of in in the last century, in India theater and movies and all that. It was always about some social, moral issue. Nowadays, it's just being stupid. The playwright, the actors, and the director all aim to give the spectator. All aim to give the spectator. Huh?
Give the spectator and the two is supreme.
To give to the spectator.
To give the spectator an aesthetic experience.
Yeah, you could put the two on the other side.
Yeah.
Give the spectator two in aesthetic spirit. You could do that, but I think you could only do that as in poetics. He was given to laughing and eating and laughing with his friends, you know, but that would be, you know, but it is bona fide, but I put the two on the other side. Unless you want to do everything, you know, and thus and thou and all that, but then it's okay. You know, which would match nicely for this presentation, right? To give the spectator an aesthetic, or just drop it altogether, give the spectator an aesthetic experience, and to transport him from the mundane to transcendental realm. That's what it's for. Like that. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan states in Sahitya Komani the following in regards with rasa in the drama. The rasa is not the character that is being portrayed, because the rasa on stage is mundane and limited. It is not in the actor either, since an actor is acting to earn a living. The rasa is only in cultured spectators who have the predisposition and who achieve the extraordinariness of the rasa in the character by means of an ingenious dramatical representation. Right? So, in other words, it's the audience that's going to experience, because the actor is just doing his job. He's not tasting it. Right? Right, the stage itself, all this, that, the presentation, how they lay it out, the lighting, you know, the blocking, you know, where everyone stands, who delivers what line, and this and that, what's the, you know, the movement of it, all that's just, it's just the material things, the technique to bring out in the audience who have a predisposition for that. They have an inclination towards Krishna consciousness. Then them seeing this, it will invoke in them the Krishna consciousness. And them being absorbed in it and all that, then everybody else is happy. Because then they respond, they this, that, you see. Like Prabhupada said, there was that, he was in a drama that they did, I think on something on Lord Chaitanya or that, and they practiced for a year. And now they were all thinking, why are we practicing so long? And after a year when they performed, he said, in the audience, everyone was crying. And that's in here also, okay. It's here. Though Natya Shastra speaks of theater, it actually encompasses all forms of art expression, right? So you're showing it through here because all the others are going to still happen in the theater. So since Natya Shastra, you present the theater and what can go on in the theater, but all these are there. Because if you're dancing, there's music, right? You know, if there's music, then there will be words about Krishna, rasa, or there's going to be a dance to accompany that. So they all go together. That's why Gandharva Veda, it's one thing, music, drama, and dance. It has those three aspects. Like that. Yes, it's just showing the techniques of it. The Gandharva Veda means it's about this and that, you know, in other words, what we're giving in the introduction, that's what Gandharva Veda is purpose is. And then all these others will be part of that. So in the Vedic system, the Gandharva Veda means those books on these aspects. So, does that make sense? So it itself is that one book that has all these other within it. So this is a section, you could say. And the great personalities they present, and so they become the authority in these areas. So in this, then Bharat Muni is mentioned, our Rupa Goswami, the Acharyas mention him. And so then he's the basis that is here, so we understand the whole thing, but then the core of this will be Rupa Goswami and his Natika Chandrika, you know, how to fully understand its application.
Maharaj Natasha said,
It's how to apply. Gandharva Veda means just like, let's say, we say cooking, and somebody's written a cookbook. You know, and it's well accepted and all that. It's part of the cooking Veda. It itself's not the Veda, but it's part of that. Because cooking, whether someone writes their presentation or not, cooking exists. Mother Jashoda still cooks lunch, whether anybody's written a cookbook or not. You know, does that make sense? So these are fields of knowledge. So Gandharva Veda is one field of knowledge. Within that, then you can have so many works. So you might have many authors, you might have just one author. like that. Or so many authors, one's prominent. You know, so anything else within this field, you know, by anyone else other than the Acharyas, you would see it in the context of Bharat Muni. You know, just like Dharma Shastra is one. So then in Dharma Shastra, you have actually 40. But of that, Manu is main. So anything else, you'll see it in the context of Manu. So even Parasara and Yajnavalkya, that'll be giving details for Kali Yuga on how to apply Manu. Because Manu is for all four ages. Some people say, oh, that's for previous ages. No, it's not. It's for all ages. And then Yajnavalkya and Parasara will make it very specific. They'll bring out those points that are of need in Kali Yuga. They'll give more information on that. Because in the other ages, they didn't necessarily need that much information. You know what I'm saying? Just like in Manu, it says, don't get divorced. And so people didn't get divorced. But in Kali Yuga, sometimes it happens. So then Parasara deals with that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Though Natya Shastra speaks of theater, it actually encompasses all forms of art expressions. In fact, there is no knowledge, no craft, no lore, no art, no technique, and no activity that is not found in Natya Shastra. The reason that theater arts were discussed specifically is that traditionally in Bharatvarsha, drama was considered the most comprehensive form of art expressions. Right, because it includes everything else. Further, in the Vedic tradition, the arts of poetry, dance, music, drama, and even painting, sculpture, and architecture were not viewed as separate and individualized streams of art forms. They're just branches of this. It was an integral vision of art, which blossomed in multiplicity. All artistic expressions were viewed as propagating beauty while providing both pleasure and education through refinement of senses and sense perceptions. So you're elevating yourself, but through the senses, refining the senses, you know, developing like that. It was a pleasurable way to learn these things, you know, through a dramatic expression, you know, as opposed to the Vedanta Sutra class. You know, so that's why it's there. It's just part of the thing. Because you need to be able to, you know, get the intellect going and that, but at the same time as you need to be able to, the mind to appreciate and all these things. Right? So before is all these things together. The you know, the art, poetry means how they're speaking is going to be poetry. Dance, because they're going to dance within the performance. Music, that's going to always be the background, because without music then the drama is not as wonderful, right? The drama itself would be the particular words and the form and all that. You know, the painting, the sculpture, the architecture, how they set up the stage and decorate it, and the arts, forms, and all these things, those are all going to be there. Right? So they weren't separate, they were a part of one thing. You know, you could, you know, have a painting, have this and that, but it's a complete form. Just like within the Stapanaveda, then 3D is considered, that's full. A statue is full. Well, the painting is only 2D. It's part of that. So in the modern, you start with sketching and this. In the Vedic, you started with 3D. Then from that, you could do 2D. If you can do 3D, of course you can do 2D. But if you do 2D, it doesn't mean you can do 3D. Right? Because you see, those who are sculptors, then their paintings are the top. Those who are just painters and not sculptors, then, you know, it's kind of hit and miss. Some are good, some are not. But I think with those who were sculptors, there's not a painting that they had that isn't still, you know, in the Louvre. You know, is that something? Yeah.
But then painting is the basic.
Yeah, that's just. Yeah. You just do the outline and all that, and then you do the sculpture. Because if you can think 3D, then of course the painting, you can get that depth, you can get the perception, you can get everything. But then. The text discusses a variety of performance arts, as well as the design of the stage, like, one, drama. So what do you have here? Drama, song, dance, and arts, music and musical instruments, and actors. Those are the four sections. Yes, okay. The Natya Shastra, so in drama. The Natya Shastra defines drama in chapter 6 verse 10, as an art which aesthetically arouses joy in the spectator. Right? So through aesthetics, then you arise that happiness and that absorption in some way connected to, you know, improving the consciousness. Right? Through the medium of actor's art of communication that helps connect and transport the individual into a divine state. Right? So that's why the devotees, you know, let's say for programs previously, especially back in the 70s, 60s, even some went later into 80s, is that for the Sunday program or any festival, they do a drama. But it's not that they necessarily had to get into it and rehearse it and all that. They just beforehand, okay, let's, what do we do? Why don't we do this? Okay, who's playing what? Oh, I'll play this. Okay, and you play this, that. And then everybody knows the story and they just go out on and ad lib. Like that, just right like that. Or sometimes there is some devotees who are into it, then they'll prepare and make costumes and all that, and then do a performance and all. So it's just for that. It's for adding to, creating that joy, that absorption in the festival. You know, absorption in Krishna. That's what it's for.
It's not the main thing that people remember.
Yes, yes. So there has to be that value, that those things like that, yes. And then it goes on. But otherwise, if they get too much into themselves, then it all disappears. Otherwise, what happened? Where are these drama troops? Right? They disappear because, you know, I want to express like this, and I want to do this, and oh, I'm not allowed to, and all like that. Oh, we're so restricted. And so then they just go off to, you know, do their own thing and disappear into oblivion like everybody else. Right? You know, before it's every festival, they're there and doing the thing, and the devotees appreciate, but no, they want to get out there in the real world and get real accolades. So, good chance nobody has a Tony yet. Right? No?
I don't follow. The only group I know which is really good is in the Dhamma Spots.
Yeah. That. And they do everything there. But now and again, he also has those guys. Remember before Sri Prahlad had the band?
Oh, yeah.
And they got into reggae. Because he started with rock, but the problem is that rocks, you can't really dance to rock. It's a weird music. You just sit there and get into the good vibes, you know? Or you can get up individually and do something stupid, right? So then they found, or it could go too fast, right? Too slow, too fast. They found the reggae was just really nice beat that everybody could dance. You could get everybody going, and it could go a little faster, but it would just make everyone dance. So they had everything, and they were going along, but at one point, there was a group of them, they felt that, you know, we're too restricted, we can't express ourselves as artists. And they broke off and started their own reggae band, where they'd go around and do programs and all that, because we kind of made it a little popular. And then they'd go out, and then they'd disappear.
You think they're still playing?
They might be playing somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the individual, they're very talented musicians.
Of course. We're not saying they're not. Of course. Because the point is what's to hold them together? That's always the problem with them. You see, how many bands stay together? You know, how many troops, how many... Because it's always going to be somebody, you know, feels that I'm not being represented here. Oh, he says everything and we just have to follow, you know. I say, you know, if I was on my own, I write all the songs on my own, I could do so much more. And like that. So that's the problem. So this restricts this. So it channels it. And so this person could be part of this company their whole life. You know? Or they could be a moving group, they could move around and stuff like this. But this modern thing where it's all about them as a performer, no, it's all about creating that sense of joy in the audience. That's what it's for. You know, that's what you do. It means, in other words, do I just express and put together whatever I want? I'm cooking and I'll throw in this and throw in that and I'll turn it around and I'll do this and that and then whatever. But nobody likes it. The taste is terrible. You know, but what about me? It was my expression, you know, like this. You know, I'll go feed the cows. At least they appreciate, you know. You know, so that's the whole point, is that it's got to be, no. It's about you cook, people, you know, you offer to Krishna and people appreciate. So you have to control. You have to. So that's the thing, is even they get into their own thing, they still have to control it within that. Otherwise, how does it have its name? right? They don't want to be controlled, but then they play rock or they play pop. But it's called pop because it fits into a category. You know, why don't they write a symphony like Beethoven? They can't. So the whole point is that, you know, it's just they restrict themselves in there, but they want to be in control. They don't want anyone else to be in control. But here, then, it's no. Everybody's it has to be controlled. Does that make sense?
Serving,
yes. It's the one's service. It's one service. Just like the Vaishya makes money, gives in charity, pays taxes, takes care of his workers. Kshatriya protects the people. Like that, the Brahmins, they learn, they teach. You know, so here, then, as an artist, then one serves. You know, I say. What a process. I have served, I will serve, right? Yes? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.